For those of you who have went through the book of Matthew, you know that the kingdom of heaven is the message in the Gospel of Matthew. And Jesus began with the kingdom of God, and he ends his last preaching about the kingdom of God. We see that in Matthew 25. In Matthew 25, there are three parables that Jesus talked about to end his preaching in the book of Matthew. And that kind of give us an understanding of what faith is all about and what life as Christians is all about as we look forward to the final judgment as well. So those three parables Jesus used as the ending conclusions of his ministry in the book of Matthew. The first parable is the parable of the 10 virgins that speaks of weariness in faith. Faith is like oil for the lamp. It can run out through weariness. The parables of the 10 virgins nicely teaches that we all have to strive toward keeping our faith strong. Faith in Jesus is a relationship. If you stay away from Jesus, your relationship with him will wither like any others. You probably have relationship in your life that you have stay away from them for some time, and you know that that relationship has cooled down. And you feel like strangers now. If you do not keep up with your relationship with Jesus, soon Jesus will be a stranger to you as well. That's the first part of what Jesus talked about. The second part is what we will be going through today, the parable of the talents. But the third parable is the parable of the sheep and the goat. It is about the judgment day when Jesus come back. He will judge humanity on the basis of love. Your love will be evaluated at that judgment. Your love of God and your love of man will come together, and Jesus will look at your love. And he will say whether you'll go into paradise or you won't go there. It's on the basis of your love for humanity. The love of God, your love toward God, and your love toward man come into focus. It become one. Now let's turn to the parable of the talents, verse 14 to 30. Matthew 25, verse 14 to 20. If you have your Bible, please read with me. Again, it was like, and here it was, it will be like that he's talking about the kingdom. It will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on to his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the two talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with two talents. See, I have gained two more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servants. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the one talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. So here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seeds? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Father, every time we read the word of the Lord Jesus, we know that you are speaking through him. And these words that Jesus spoke 2,000 years ago are ringing loud and clear in our ears today. But we don't understand them. It's your word. What you say are higher than what we could understand. So come and speak to us. Speak through me so that we understand what this is all about, so that we can live for you and for Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This parable of the talents is often compared to the parable of the 10 minas in Luke chapter 19, verse 11 to 27. By comparing, we can see points of divergence and similarities. Both dealt with the manifestations of the kingdom of God now and in the future. We receive tokens of that kingdom now, but its fullness will take place in the future. However, if we neglect what we receive now, the fullness of the kingdom will be taken away. Yet Christianity is unlike any religion or faith. Christ died to pay for our sins. By faith, we receive salvation freely. Yet it's not earned. You don't have to do good deeds in hope that one day you will receive eternal life. Jesus has done all of that for you on the cross. So the concept of grace, the gift of salvation here, and good work that we are struggling to do as Christians, sometimes difficult to reconcile if you don't understand it well. Yet it's free. Why do we have to do good deed? That's the struggle that many Christians in the church have, and particularly in situation like we are going through right now with our church, where we are buying a new facility to worship God and require a lot of us to contribute in. We feel that is work that we are called to do. And if we already receive salvation, why do we have to do so much? I think that is something that needs to be clarified, and that's why I want to talk about it today. First, let me talk a little bit about the parable. It is about the kingdom of God, the reign of God. It is a present reality in the hearts of man and a future reality. If you think about the kingdom, you also think about the king who's in charge of the kingdom. In the parable of the minas, minas, I think that's how they pronounce it. Pardon me with my English. I'm born over there, you know. This notion of the king comes through clearly. Here in Matthew, we see a wealthy man. Jesus is represented by the king and by the wealthy man that we read here. The kingdom is his treasure. Now, the relationship to the king is key. He rescued us and bought us with his precious blood. He divided his own treasure among us, each according to our ability. No one is left without a share. We become stewards of that portion of his treasure that is given to us. The teaching of the parable is simple. We are to invest and make profit. We should not bury it underground. And what does that mean? It means we should not keep the good news of Jesus to ourselves. Rather, we should tell other people about him so that when he returns, we will not stand before him alone, but we should bring other people to stand before him as well. But the story goes deeper. One of the three men is fearful that he might lose the treasure. Don't we all fear that we might not go to heaven? But the answer pretty much given to us that the treasure that Jesus gives to us will always earn profits. Jesus guarantees it. So profit refers to people coming to salvation. How much can be earned? The answer to that is as much as we put our heads and our hearts together. There is no risk of loss in this investment. The only risk is that we might lose ourselves because we don't invest what God has given to us. I want to speak a little bit about the notions of Lord and Master here. Because we as humans have problem with Lord and Master. Not only the monk have a problem, but everyone else in the world has a problem with Lord and Master. Our understanding of this notions of Lord and Master of our lives is very unhealthy because our experience as humans with Lord and Master derived from centuries of human injustice. You can look at your monk history and you see the thousands of years of injustice. You hear the story from your parents, from your grandparents, that monk have been oppressed, imprisoned, and destroyed. That's why we migrate from China down to Southeast Asia and now here in America. Not only the monk experienced that, every culture experienced that. So when we talked about Lord and Master, we equate that title, that name, with oppressions, imprisonment, and destruction. But God and Jesus present themselves here in this parable as different kind of Lord and Master. God sent Jesus who died for our salvation and endowed us with the Spirit and the power and eternity. Instead of oppression, imprisonment, and destruction, he gave us freedom, life, and a share of his own inheritance. So check your heart to see if you have this healthy concept of Lord and Master. How can you check your heart? First, determine whether it is hard or easy to give to the Lord anything that you have, including giving to this love project. If giving is easy, then you do have a healthy understanding of Lord and Master. But if giving is hard, then you go to step two. Why is it hard? Ask that question. Why is it hard? For some people, it is hard because you don't have anything to give. And so immediately you confront the wall. I don't have anything to give. I understand that. So forgive yourself if you don't have anything to give. Be kind to you. I don't have anything to give. Take a deep breath and then let go of that burden that you carry because you don't have anything to give. But if giving is hard because you feel you're losing something belonging to you, now that is a sign of unhealthy understanding of Lord and Master in your life, in our life. Why? Because we feel that we are giving something that is of our own to someone else. And that is oppression. That's felt like God is oppressing you, is pushing you down, or locking you up, or destroying you. So, how then do we apply this parable and this concept, these notions of Lord and Master to your situation, my situation? See, what the Lord Jesus talked about here in this parable is he never asked anything from the servant what belonged to them. He only asked for an account of what he has given to them. Okay? So, ask yourself, have I received anything from God? If you haven't received anything at all, feel free. This parable doesn't apply to you because you're off the hook. Jesus doesn't talk to you. Talk to you who have not received anything from Jesus. Did you receive anything from him? That's the question. Now, please understand, I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm trying to help you out of any guilt that you may have. Nevertheless, I cannot stop the Holy Spirit putting that guilt in your lives to transform you, to change you. If you feel guilty because of the teaching here today, know that it is from God talking to you, speaking to you. And so take that into prayer. Take that into consideration. God created the universe. God created you and me in his image. We live in God's world. Our beings belong to him because he created us. Furthermore, we receive forgiveness of sin because Jesus has died on the cross. We receive eternal life. We have received heaven. We have received sonship because Jesus has redeemed us. So as Paul said, we no longer live for ourselves, for our purpose. But Jesus lives in us. God lives in us for his purpose. We belong to God. We belong to Christ. So it's in that sense that Jesus is holding you and holding me accountable for the gift that Jesus and God has given to us. Now you may feel guilty. Rightly so, you should feel guilty. And I do feel guilty too. Because everything that belonged to me is God's. Our full inheritance is the future kingdom. And God doesn't want us just to have life here, but to have eternity. What we experience in our life here through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the joy that we have today, is only a token of what is to come. But it is that joy, that peace that we have about the Christian life that we have received from the Holy Spirit. It is that which the Lord Jesus wants us to invest in others. That may be very small, but that small may be worth very much to God. Worth more than you can ever think of. So I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 to 15. I'll read a few things here. First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 to 15. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flame. What Paul is talking about here is that God has given us the very best that heaven has to provide, that is his Son. And God is asking you to love others as he has loved us. That means ask you to give the very best that you have. What is the very best? Not wood, not straw, not hay that will burn up, but like silver, like gold, like precious stone. Now, what you have may be very little, like this girl. Let's look at this video and learn how little can do. Is that on? And God is able to do much more with that. This is what this parable is about. Give the best that you can give. And expect God to do what he knows with what you have. Don't give anything out of your abundance. Give out of your poverty. Because God has only one son to give, the only one son. Matthew 26, verse 26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. God gave out of his poverty too. He has only one. Now for my wife and I, we have 7 kids, so giving one out to God might be easy. But what if we have only one? Giving out the only one. That's what God did. As we come to the table, we are being reminded that God gave everything. God is asking you to do likewise. If you have not received anything from God, please don't give. But if you have received something from God, the very best that he had given to you, I ask you to give back the best that you can out of your poverty. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his body that is broken for us on the cross. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the blood that has been poured for the forgiveness of our sin, that we may receive eternal life freely. And now you are asking us to give freely so that other people, like our children, like other people in the community, would receive salvation freely as well. And that's what you call us to do. So as we come to the table to take the bread and the cup, remind us of your gift. And speak to us how we should give. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Come. Thank you. You have given us the most precious thing, yourself, for our salvation. And now you are asking us to love other people just as you have loved us. And we are in the present moment contemplating on giving to this love project. Speak to us gently but firmly, so that we will give the very best that we have. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.